Now, some of this is not my favorite topic, and my sister Terry Liverman, she has done a lot of ministry with other, with Living Waters and different ones who deal with this kind of thing. And she's got a really powerful teaching on folly. And you know, this whole teaching started when we started dealing with separating the foolish from wisdom. And the foolish produces folly. And so what God has done is he supernaturally has led us to deal with all these different issues. And then we're going to deal with folly last. Now, next week, I'll deal with folly that is in the areas of certain kind of follies, like being a shopaholic and alcohol and different addictions or overeating and that kind of thing. And Terry's going to deal more with the folly that has to do with sexual sin and perversion and those really fun things to teach. I read this, I'm like, I don't want to teach this, I don't even want to talk about it. Anyway, but you need to learn to get people free. And I'm going to just give everybody a real eye-opening. I already know that people still deal with this stuff throughout the American church. And we need to quit pretending that everything is okay when God has come to set us free. So somebody has to humble themselves and realize that there's things in your past that you need to be set free from so they don't become some of your now. And some of you, it's already become some of your now where you had been free for years. And God does not want us to walk through the kind of things we're watching with Todd Bentley in Lakeland. And boy, if you're in this ministry, you do not throw a stone because you realize there's a man that no one helped get free from the hurts and the perversions in his past. And instead, he came into the church and he was lifted up for the calling, lifted up for the anointing. Everybody said, yay, hurrah. And no one really, really had the discernment or the love of God enough to sit him down and say, let's deal with these issues before we give you a platform, before you come and preach in this church. Let's deal with this self-hate. Let's deal with this sexual perversion from the past. I personally know that if you were molested somebody in the past, it's not gone until you really, really dealt with it. How do I know that? Because I've been doing this ministry now for about, I don't know, 10 years. Oh, I guess longer than that, probably 16 or 17 years. And I have found out that these hidden things are deeply hidden. But when God says start dealing with it, it's time to deal with it. So there's no shame. It's not who you are. You are not your sin. As soon as you understand you are not your sin, you can understand that sin has been taken to that cross. And those demons have been sent to the pit by the blood of Christ. And all you're going to do is rise up and take authority to make that real. And quit playing the pretend games with the cute faces, because people in great leadership positions all over America are falling into horrible sin, embarrassing sin, and sin that's making a mockery of what we stand for when we talk about holiness. And every one of us could name some. For everyone that we could name, think of all the ones we can't name because we don't know who they are. So it's time to deal with our junk and not throw stones, but be thankful that Christ has set us free. Bible says to renounce every evil thing. That's what the Bible says. Very few people renounce every evil thing. I do. But when God sticks something new in my thinking, so, oh, let's get rid of that. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. We kind of started this teaching, I think, Friday night. I don't even remember. And then I really felt the Lord wants to go over this deeper. Now, here's what we want to do. When we look at 2 Timothy 3, we want to see if any of this is in us, if any of this was in us and we haven't repented and renounced it. And if you have repented and renounced something and it's gone, praise God. This is supposed to work. I'm not who I was even last week. I'm certainly not who I was a year ago. So that's okay. So for some of you, some of these things we've already talked about before. For others, you were too bound at the time to get it. Some of you are new. You weren't here when we talked about it before. And some of it we didn't understand. Now, I think it's really cool to watch the way God reveals truth, because we've taught some of this before, but we didn't have the revelation of perfect love that casts out fear. Perfect love that takes away the fear of being alone, the fear of punishment, the fear of being rejected. We didn't understand that perfect love actually means love without conditions. We never quite understood till we started getting these teachings a few weeks ago that most people have either had unconditional rejection, which leads to lawlessness, or love with conditions. Or they went from unconditional rejection to love with conditions. And a lot of people said, boy, this has really played around with my mind. And it's just opened up some brand new places that God's been taking me to, because I did not realize that love with conditions isn't love at all. And very few of us have lived a life where there's no, where love has no conditions. And that's why there's so much codependency. That's why there's so much divorce. That's why there's so many kids mad and angry and hurting and leaving home. That's why you have your overachievers and your underachievers. That's why you have your valleys and your mountains. So you're going to hear this a lot, because the church needs to understand love without conditions, perfect love. Now, a lot of what we thought was love was loving ourselves the wrong way. Now, the Bible says you're to love. First, the Bible says the two main commandments, the two only commandments you need, which means these are so important that if you really get the revelations for these, you're going to live in that realm where God's just going to flow through you. And the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And so that's a process, because you don't even know the things in your heart that won't allow you to really love God. You don't understand the bitterness. You don't even understand some of these things. So God's been dealing with that. That's what a lot of the teaching's on. Then the second one, which, hey, we're really progressing, because God is teaching the second one after about 12 years or whatever. Yay! People are understanding who God is. They don't have to be bitter. They don't have to blame him for stuff. They don't have to think that his love is with conditions. But the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says, husband, love your wife as yourself, or as your own flesh. Now, the key here is the enemy wants to make sure you can't love yourself. And he started before you were ever born. And what we're realizing, a lot of people who think they love themselves have the wrong kind of self-love. How do you know? How do you know if your kind of love for yourself is the wrong kind? Because you have you're self-absorbed, you're self-protecting, you're controlling, you try to get all the attention on yourself. Your self-indulgence, isn't this fun? If you love yourself the way Satan wants you to love yourself, the world's about you. You could be the greatest achiever of all time and still go straight to hell, because you really don't have any real love. Now, so when Jesus says love your neighbor as yourself, that's a big word, because he's now saying, not only do you have to get unconditional love from God and love him back unconditionally, once you get that, which is a big getting, now you're able to do the second commandment, which is to love yourself. Why? Because now you can let go of all the lies. You can let go of all the anger. You can let go of all the things you're hiding. You can let go of all the shame. You can let go of all the false things. You can get rid of pride, because now you can actually enter into loving yourself. Why? Because you've learned to get love from God. Wow, God loves me. God loves me. If we have time at the end of the night, we're going to play that teaching on loving yourself last week that was so powerful. Not the whole teaching, but the 20-minute altar call at the end. Many of you stayed, but you couldn't kind of make it to the very end. So we're going to play that at the end of tonight's meeting. It's powerful. It's also now on the web. It is so powerful. People were crying all over the place. We've done more near healing since then. Some of you are going to find out there's a sadness that might come up in you. And you're like, we've had two inner healings today. It's like, why do I feel so sad? You know why you feel so sad? Because you actually thought deep down in the hurt parts of you that you could handle love with conditions. And when you found out there's no such thing as love with conditions, you're exposed to that pain that you took the love with conditions to try to handle. And it's really cool. All you got to do is bring true unconditional love there by the power of God. Healing, whether it's physical or in the broken places of your life, it's supernatural, okay? So don't get your brain all in there trying to figure it out. Just let God do what God does. And I tell you, it's real. All right. So I'm telling you this because look how supernaturally God has put this together for us. Because I didn't have any set up plan how we were going to do this. But God's like, okay, you got to understand his perfect unconditional love. You got to really understand that. If you don't have that deep, go deep in that. It's on the web. You can watch it over and over. Then you have to love yourself His way. How do you know if you love yourself the wrong way? Because you loved yourself without knowing His unconditional love. You loved yourself without knowing His unconditional love. It's impossible to love anything without His love, because His love is the real thing. So you had some of this other stuff. Now look at this. It says, but know this, that in the last days, grievous times will be upon us. Cell phones will ring in the middle of a TV. Oh, I'm just kidding. All right, no. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times will be upon us. Okay, are we in the last days?
Yes.
These are grievous times. For men will be lovers of themselves. Now, wait a minute. Jesus just said we're to love ourselves. Obviously, and if you don't, He says to love yourself so many times, it's not even funny. We've got that teaching. It'll be out. I think that's on the web too. But if you actually go and go on one of those programs and put in there, you know, love your neighbor, love your neighbors yourself, or love yourself, it comes up a lot. It wasn't something Jesus just said once in a while. It was a powerful truth. It was a powerful truth along with love the Lord your God. Okay? But here He's saying something that sounds like He's contradicting Himself. He's saying here, it's going to be really bad in the last days. People will love themselves. So what we're seeing here, there is a counterfeit loving of yourself. And most people are living in that. It's called high self-esteem. It's very prideful. It's very self-absorbed. It's about them. Now, to the degree that what you're walking in is about Jesus and not about you, is to the degree that you have the real loving of yourself. Okay? Now, we're line upon line teaching, so I'm going to tell you, there's lots of tapes back there to help explain this more. All right. So for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of yourself is vanity. And the actual word, if this goes into a really deep, painful place that even psychiatrists recognize that there's something really off, the deep, deep demonic part of this, the psychiatrist calls narcissism. Narcissism. Now, I'm not calling anybody a narcissist. And let me tell you, when you hear some of this, you're going to start thinking, oh my gosh, am I that? Okay? I think Satan tries to make all of us some of this stuff. And what we're here tonight is to get any of that separated from us completely so we can have the freedom to love ourselves as God created us to be, that freedom to be who He's called us to be. This narcissistic personality disorder, it's a disorder, all right, is a mental disorder, that means a devil, in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance and a deep need for admiration. Now, what's amazing, to the degree that you're self-absorbed, is to the degree that it's a real hard thing to actually see yourself as you really are and know that that's okay. I mean, I was so self-absorbed at one time and had self-importance so strong that it was like really life-changing for me to realize that even had I not become a Christian and even had I not chose to be led by the Spirit and be part of this ministry, I would not have been as successful in life, in business especially, as I somehow believed I would have been. In other words, I actually could use being called to ministry as a scapegoat to say why I wasn't as successful as someone like Donald Trump. I probably shouldn't say that rich guy who has the TV show and he fires people. Anyhow, he's so egotistical, he'll probably like us using his name. So we'll cut this out when we edit this. But anyhow, but the bottom line was all of a sudden, one day I was praying to get rid of self-absorbed and just praying for God to just show me some of these things. And I realized, Cindy, you were not given the 5-talent gifting there. Why do you think you are? But see, high-minded, we've been talking about high-minded, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. High-minded is an actual spirit. It's a prideful spirit that actually makes you have to keep being up higher than everybody else. Now, some people have it in different areas. And some of you don't have it. Don't look at me like I've got 4 heads. It's okay. You've got something else. Some people have had such low self-esteem, they never would have thought that they could be better at any than somebody at anything. But I tell you what, the enemy knows your callings. He knows your gifting. He knows everything really about you, as far as maybe not the devil personally, but the demons have been assigned to you to create you in the image of the devil. And so they're going to know these things. And they're going to look at that and say, how can we pervert this? How can we pervert this? Bible says, know the schemes of the enemy. But then understand the victory of Christ. And it's just such a freedom to get free from some of these things. What you see in your kids that bother you the most is probably you looking at you. I'm not kidding when I say that. Most of the things that God has really shook me with in this last year or so have been things my kids have either participated in or said to me. Mom, why do you just think about yourself? Are you? And I'm thinking, how can you say I think about myself? I'm at the ministry all the time. I gave up a high-paying job or potential of one, and I did this, and I'm there, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and look at me. Oh. And I was so thankful that at least I heard God enough and loved him enough and surrendered enough after all I went through to be in his will, and he's blessing. But then he wants to get that part out of us that needs to be seen, that needs to be successful, that needs to have a ministry, that needs to feel important. Because let me tell you what, there's such a freedom in not needing anything but Christ. Paul says, Paul had walked in all that mess. And then Paul says, I count it all really as dung, as garbage, the things I've given up, the things I've let go of to find Christ. That's where God's going to get you to the other side of this stuff, where you're going to be so thankful to be free of thinking about yourself. But your love for yourself is going to come in this love he gives you and realizing I'm made in his image and in his likeness for his glory. He created me to love me. And I encourage you, as God's breaking us through this, listen to the teaching, you're lovable. It was a powerful revelation I got a few years ago where people would come and say, nobody could ever, God could never love me. God just could never love me. And the truth of love is you are a human being. So everybody on that page, you know, hopefully, I mean, there are people in the insane asylums. You got to get them free enough to get to that. The Bible says we are created in his image and his likeness. He chose us to be human beings. And God told me, tell them to quit trying to feel like they're worthy to be loved, because their worthiness has nothing to do with their lovability. And I said, what are you talking about, Lord? He says, I made human beings to love them. That's why they're created. They're created for my good pleasure. They're created for me to pour my love into them. You know, we're actually created and designed to be the bride of Christ. That's deep love. We're created and designed by the Father to be his children. That's awesome love. That's unconditional love. And so our lovability is based on us being a human. Because our ability to be loved is based on the one who created us to love us. Do you understand that? You are worthy to be loved because he created you to love you. You can't earn that. You can't work for that. You can't try to get to that place. God himself, when he chose you to be a human being, chose you to be a vessel that he would pour his love into, and therefore you would receive that kind of love, and then it would pour out of you. You were created for God's love. Is that awesome? So we say, well, I don't think God could ever love me. No, no, no. If you're a human being, he loves everything. But if you're a human being, he loves you in a way that he chose you to have a relationship with him.